Do you know what I would do?
You know what I would do.
You know what I would do?
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 Do you know what I would do?
Have you ever been anywhere and sincerely tried to make people think you were from somewhere else based on a fake accent?
In America, I do that.
Yeah, whereabouts?
All the time, everywhere.
Yeah.
I go up to somebody, I'm like, I'm from France.
Oh, so you don't even do the accent?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay. Oh, but you go like really subtle with it?
I'm from France.
Yeah, yeah. And then in between that, then you speak in just fluent French or like gibberish French.
I don't know French.
No, I know. I'm saying, but in order to sell that you are from there, are you not... Like, to me, that's passable if you're going, here, look at my perfect impression of a person speaking standard American English.
Okay.
But then normally I'm, je puis vous en français, ne puis vous quoi? You know, and then you go,
yeah, but then I don't know what you
France.
Say. I don't know
no,
what
no, no, exactly. Well, have you done one where it's another accent from another place?
Yeah.
Like what?
I'm from Britain.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's good. Yeah. So I understand now. You just say that you're from there, and that's kind of in
I'm
your mind.
I'm pretending to
accent.
Be from those countries, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm saying. I'm
yeah. Oh, you're pretending on a purely like biographical level. Like you're not going to do anything.
Biodegradable.
No, exactly. So it breaks down. But so you're not there. No part of you is concerned at all with like them believing you. Because you're like, I know in my heart my lie is true.
If I start thinking about what the audience is thinking about, I'll never...
No, you know, here's what is true. If you... I actually do believe that, you know what? I've met enough people who like had a dad in the fucking military or something who were like, I actually grew up in the UK and just have no accent at all. So you know what, Joe? Sure. Yeah, it could work. If you say it in the right way, I would
Let's
believe
go,
it.
Let's go, dude. This is what I'm talking about. Everyone listen to this.
Yeah.
It's all about...
If you say it in the right way.
You say it in the right way and you just like, don't stop believing.
Do you think I could just always say I grew up in Dubai?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe that.
Yeah. You go, oh, he's from a really rich family.
Yeah,
he grew up in Dubai.
And do not fuck with their... They sell
yeah.
weapons.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be cool.
That'd be so cool.
For me. Just for me,
yeah,
personally.
Yeah, that'd be a great origin
story. Yeah, that would
story.
Feel really good.
Make a lot of things make sense, too.
Yeah. You're
make
right. Yeah.
Make a lot of things make sense.
Yes. I love that. Now, today we have something
Where
very
are
special.
We?
This is my home. Welcome
yeah,
to my home.
And?
Thank you, AD. Welcome to my home. This is, you know, this is the, you know what
you
I
don't
would...
even know what the goddamn podcast name is. You know what I would do?
No, you know what it is that I, when I feel myself being
it's
teed
not, you
up,
know what it is.
When I feel myself being teed up, I want to strike out.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, so just dig into
We're
that.
We're giving you lobs here, bud. And when I say we, I mean all the voices in my head.
This is the podcast, You Know What I Would Do?
Oh.
And we're getting right into an audience doo-doo.
We are. Which I want to think, and I don't know if I said this last time. If you want to email at us, you can.
Mm-hmm. I do think you probably said it.
At unopod@gmail.com. And, shit, if you want to get on the Patreon, you can. We got a Patreon that's live, baby. And if you subscribe to the Patreon, you get a little extra priority when it comes to the audience.
Why did you tickle me when you said that?
Because there was no one else to tickle.
Yeah, but I'm not the audience doesn't feel that.
I do.
Okay.
They go on to write
Who?
This. Joey, baby! Or Mike.
In parentheses?
Yep.
Okay.
Really appreciate you guys taking my last suggestion and going off with it. Absolutely made my week until the next week when you guys decided not to use my name suggestion. Audience, you know what I would do, but it's chilling. Anyway, I got another one for you. I guess they're upset with the doo-doos.
A little passive aggressive there. I didn't really care for that.
That's all right.
And now I'm sitting here going, and you've rewarded this person by reading this when they've just come at us like that.
It's not a reward.
It is.
Okay, it's not a reward. It's a burden.
You're reading their thing in front of the class.
Anyway, I got another for y'all. Another doo-doo.
Yeah.
I want to hear about you and Mike's origin story.
Mm.
We all know you used to live together, but what brought these two forces together on that fateful first day?
Hold on.
And more importantly, what would you do differently if you guys met for the first time again? Social security number is 116-745-65201. To infinity and beyond, Brendan.
I love that.
Thank you.
That's really nice. Now, I do think that that's a really valid question. I always feel like when people say, how did you guys meet? It's really pointed when they say that about us because all evidence points to that we shouldn't be friends. That's kind of what they're saying.
Yeah, they're like,
they're going
how
like,
does
I get
sense?
Your vibe and I get your vibe. How are these together?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do love that question, and I love to hear it.
And I would say in the same way as you can get two different types of metal, heat them up and stick them together,
mm-hmm.
that's what it's like.
Metallurgy.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
very, very similar.
That's
yeah,
what I'd
yeah,
say that's
yeah.
like.
Yeah. Joey and I met. I was laying in my bed, totally asleep.
Yep.
I had this like really special Japanese pillow that I would sleep with. It was like a girl, but it wasn't sexual.
Waifu.
And I one morning, the night before, I had fallen asleep crying, and I said, "Oh, I wish I had some company."
Yep.
And fell asleep crying into my pillow. And then I woke up in the morning and bam, there's Joey laying in bed right next to me.
I was that pillow.
And he was like, "This is fucking nuts. I was that pillow for so long.
Fucking futz.
I remember being in a plastic bag. I remember being made in a factory. I remember all this stuff." And then he goes on to say, "I remember all those nights of you crying, and I tried to look away when you were tugging."
Yeah.
And he had a whole nice speech.
I couldn't blink as a pillow.
Right. And you felt all this guilt about it because you pointed out that there were one or two times where I would throw a towel over your pillow face so that you wouldn't be watching. You were like, but it would often fall.
And that towel was already used.
Yeah. That indicated to you that I did want some privacy from you. And then ultimately, like, you weren't able to give that privacy because you were inert. And then you...
I wasn't a nerd.
You were inert. You didn't have
I'm not a nerd, dude. I'm a fucking D1 athlete.
But and now you're alive and, you know, you have all these thoughts and all these things and you're my pal, yeah. Joey. And then you said... Do you want to do an improv show? And then an improv show together.
This is amazing because Mike just said a whole bunch of truths, and I'm actually going to say a whole bunch of lies. The first time we did a show together, he was not supposed to be on the cast because I was filling in for him.
That's right.
And then when we performed, it was at a Second City stage in Los Angeles, and we were doing, I remember the bit, we were ordering shots at a bar. We were facing out the audience and kept on drinking. And it was a stupid bit, but we kept on like heightening and one-upping each other in this really fun way. Really collaborative, but like fucked up way that was like, oh, we both like this?
Yeah, we really just got on the same page basically like right away by doing improv.
And then
I basically never did improv with the other two people ever again. Yeah, and I basically only ever did improv with
Joey. I think I made sure you didn't perform with anybody ever again.
Yeah.
And then we started doing Sister almost immediately after that.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun because we would just like incubate different ideas in different forms and like just be wild. And it was great. And that's pretty much like our relationship really blossomed because of us connecting as maniacs on stage.
Yeah. And then there's all the stuff in between.
Yeah, which doesn't really fucking matter.
Which is crazy because I feel like I basically don't do live improv anymore. And so it's basically the podcast is now all that keeps us together.
Pretty much.
If the pod ended, you know what I mean? Like, you're just a psycho. Yeah. You're just some psycho I know.
Out there on the fucking streets.
Well, and one of the craziest things has always been introducing Joey to more, like, my new or my more stable friends. And because I always see the moment where they go, like, you're friends with this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, or how you, Joey is, and this will not surprise anyone, Joey's very good at tricking moms into thinking he's a nice, sweet boy.
Sorry.
Yeah, like my mom still refers to him as the one who was early to pick her up for something.
I picked her up exactly when I told her I was.
Yeah, and so she's still, and he got, and to me, that's just, it's classic. It's a classic, it says a lot about who you are. I guarantee everyone's
punctual.
Mom would love you. Yeah. No, but I mean that
respectful.
You can get a mom, that you can get a mom to love you. Yeah. Like, you'd always call her Miss.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's called respect, bud. This is what I would do if we met now. That's what Brendan really wants to know. Brendan, this is what I would do if Mike and I met now. First things I would do, push him up against the locker.
Yep.
Say, "Where's my lunch money, bitch?"
Yeah.
And then as he hands me the money, I stop it. And then I slide in a note in his hand. And then I crumple up his hand and I'm like, "I'm going to put it in your pocket." And he puts it in his pocket and I go, "Thanks for the money, bitch," even though I didn't take it.
Yeah.
And then I run up quickly to my other friends who don't really care or want me to do this. Right?
They weren't really watching.
So,
I get into the bathroom. I open up a piece of paper. It says, "Am I a bitch?" And then it's bitches underlined like three times. And then it's like clear that you've cried on this piece of paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, what I would do is I would kind of open up some sort of multi-dimensional like laboratory thing where I get like the way smarter, more scientific version of myself, and he's going to take me
through. What about me?
Hold on. He's going to take me through like possible timeline. He's answering timeline questions in my life. And so he like gets very excited. He's got this presentation. And he's going to show me that at any other point in our lives, if we had met, if it wasn't on stage, we never would have been friends. And so he takes us through like all of these events. He shows us in grade school. He shows you bullying me. He shows us in high school. You're getting Fs on every test and I'm bullying you. He shows us in college. You're not able to make the D1 squad. I'm D1. I'm dunking on your fucking ass all day long. He shows us that it was only this one perfect moment that made it so that we could be friends. And then I go, all right, thank you for your time. And then he sends me back to reality. Oop, there goes gravity. And then I tell all of this to you, and then you have a fucking flip out and you refuse to buy any of it. And then I look to the camera, and then it's a freeze frame, and then Steely Dan's Reeling in the Years plays. Are you reeling in the years? And then it's the end of the pilot of our TV show of our life.
I fucking love it, dude. Yeah. Well, Brennan, hope that helped.
I really do hope that helped.
Okay, this is we got to get this episode in quick. It's got to be a 10-minute episode.
We talked about it beforehand. We're on a little bit of a time crunch
here. And
it's
also like we've been dragging these episodes.
We've been letting them drag ass a little bit, but it's because we're trying to get to the championship part of the season.
Yeah.
Like in swimming, you wear a drag suit all season long that makes you swim a little bit slower. It's over your speedo.
Why would you do that?
So that when you get to the end, you have less of this drag so that you can go that much faster.
So you take your pants off by the time you get in the last, like, whatever the fuck it is?
No, it's like by the end of the season. And you're like, now I'm wearing my drag, or you don't wear your drag suit during like competitions. You just wear it during every single practice so that you're slower.
But you're training,
and then you're gonna feel more free. You should you're actually choosing to not understand it because it's actually basically Dragon Ball Z. It's the higher gravity in the ball
hyperbolic
sort of thinking.
Chamber?
Yeah, hyperbaric. You're in there training in higher gravity.
Isn't it a hyperball?
What you said is not correct.
Okay. Now, look, last week was heavy on me. All right. Holy shit.
No, they didn't see that.
I saw that.
I almost knocked over my microphone.
But now Mike is adding a little seasoning into the flavor of the spice that we're using to make our chicken cutlets.
Otherwise known as, Joey filled out all of the topics for the last 2 weeks, and I added in this one.
And I think we should just say, what the fuck's up with that?
Yeah.
So, the age of the earth.
Yeah. So I recently read this book that is, it's almost, I think it's the most disturbing book I've ever read because it really,
you saw you post about it.
It really just puts me in basically it's a geology book, but the whole thing is kind of about the
catastrophes.
No. It's really more about like the context of our own life on the overall timeline of the earth. And just showing how inconsequential and how brief of a moment our time on Earth is.
Yep.
Not just us, but human beings themselves. And so I want to, the first thing I want to
say about human beings.
I want to say that the this one apparently famous like sort of metaphor, I guess, used in geology is this like footsteps metaphor.
That Jesus is carrying you.
Where every step that you take represents 100 years. So the first step that you take, you know, there like there goes the internet, there goes, you know, with two world wars, and we're back to like the Ottoman Empire, whatever. You take like 10 steps and it's like recorded history. You take, you know, you keep going, whatever, you like get to the end of the block, and then that's like all evidence of humankind, you know. To then get to the start of Earth, you would have to walk like continuously, like, you know, like miles and miles, hundreds of miles, like every day for like 5 years in order to just get back to the start of Earth. And so all of that is insane to me. But also it's the context of the human experience on Earth in the context of just the sheer amount of time. Like if you consider that modern humans are like 100,000 years old. The dinosaurs were around for 150 million years. Like the nature of Earth, what Earth was dinosaurs for way longer than there has ever been human beings or, you know, what we consider to be our Earth.
Could it be possible?
And then the time between us and them is so much more. That's like 66 million years.
Well, I mean, my favorite little piece of nugget of trivial history timeline shit is we are closer to Cleopatra is closer to the invention of the iPhone than she was to the building of the pyramids.
Right.
Right.
Classic example.
And you're like, what does that mean?
Yes.
You know, that doesn't make any sense because she was there. She lived in the pyramids.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So just all crazy. But here's my question to you 150 million years ago.
But even
hold
like,
on,
like,
let me ask
sorry,
this question.
Sorry.
So, and don't yell at me. Could dinosaurs have had technologies and culture that we are just unaware of?
I mean, maybe there could be some version of some idea of culture, maybe. Definitely not technology, though.
How do we know?
In the fossil records.
But because it all got blown up, all their little technology.
you're getting very angry. Okay, this is not the time for that yet. So consider how long that dinosaurs were like the main event on Earth. And then there are other periods
kind of, the main event.
Of life on Earth. Of, you know, there's this thing basically like complex life, including the dinosaurs, but like all these iterations of complex life is called like the Cambrian explosion. Right. We have dinosaur wallpaper in this room. Joey just pointed at it. The Cambrian explosion is like the birth of all biological life on Earth, you know, which kind of arises slowly and suddenly after this, dude, unbelievably long period of time where Earth is just volcanoes yeah. and fucking, you know, water, impossible dead, atmospheres and shit. Yeah. And then there's this big explosion of life. But to me, it's the...
Did that explosion happen because that there might have been like a... what's
well,
that
sort of amazingly,
called?
What?
Oh my gosh, Planet Hollywood.
Mm.
Do you think that there was an explosion of life because,
like, how like an STD would spread there? You're saying like, did all of life start in some kind of STD in prehistory?
No, like a Planet Hollywood restaurant.
Oh, sure.
That got like built, and then everyone was like, their life happened because they want to go to that Planet Hollywood.
Right. Well, look, the thing is that I'm kind of new in my.
Do you remember how popular Planet Hollywood was?
Not in where I grew up, it was
Dude,
not
it
popular
was
at all.
Huge.
Rainforest Cafe was a little more
Rainforest
popular.
Rainforest Cafe was hot, obviously. Yeah. But Planet Hollywood was huge.
No, and I love that. And I actually
I'm just
think,
saying.
No, like, and I love that. No, you don't even have to. No caveats. You're totally within your right to bring that up because it makes sense
I'm
if
not
we're
angry.
Talking about the life, the you know, the Cambrian explosion or whatever.
I'm saying.
Yeah, people are always.
I just don't know. I'm just saying, like, you get all of these assumptions, you get all of these theories
yeah.
proposed by individuals who are beyond versed of this. They're experts in the field.
Right.
But again, the experts only know so much, and I will say subjectively want to press a narrative forward that in like just sadly promotes themselves.
Yes.
I'm sorry. And like a lot of that self-promotion also comes down through who their stewards were previously, who their fucking academic heroes were, who their professors that boosted that. Hold
you,
on,
if
Mike.
You
Mike, you're going to get me angry. Now, if we're looking at the timeline of Earth from its pure like cold stone that then turned into a hot little ball that then shot out all those little hot zits that were volcanoes that made the little acid skin.
I do agree that they are like hot zits.
What we know as the Earth, can we also suppose that there were several hundreds and thousands of tiny Planet Hollywoods that then grew based on the organisms that needed to fill those seats, as well as the staff and management and headquarters that had to run those? And of course, the supply chain that gave it the
yeah.
food.
Yeah, because you can't just have a Planet Hollywood if they don't have a menu and they need uniforms. They yeah. need, first of all, they need a film industry to have existed
exactly.
so that they have a theme.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Because you got to yes. walk in there and yeah. see this is the outfit from Fifth yeah. Element.
So either all of that exists or none of it did, and it's not relevant to the timeline at all.
But we don't know.
But
all
we don't
I'm
know.
Saying is like you dismiss it as if it's
right.
unobvious.
Yeah. Yeah, like that is just easily dismissed because it doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, because I don't have a Planet Hollywood
yeah.
fossil record.
Right, right.
Well, it's like...
But also because there would be no context for it to make any sense. Like that there's like, oh, even a restaurant. That doesn't have any context.
Yeah, it
like,
does.
No, it doesn't because...
You're
people,
hungry for food, you go to a restaurant.
But in a time before like normal, what we would describe as like cognition, you can't
but
have
don't
something
live in
that,
a normal time.
That requires like service that they're like,
to be
you
lucky
need to follow.
To live an interesting time.
Right. Yes, exactly. Written on a piece of wood in my aunt's bathroom. But so the thing that I keep thinking about is, you know, and then there are all these different iterations of life that would arise at this time, even before the dinosaurs. Right. And then these things would also be on Earth for longer than
out.
Human beings
yeah.
have been on Earth and get wiped out largely for environmental reasons.
Yeah, because they're polluting and they're,
yeah.
they're private jets.
No, actually, no, it did have to do with like sort of, well, so I've been reading this, or I read this book called The Ends of the World, and it basically, you know, it explains, you know, sort of the context for the five mass extinctions. And my...
That we know of.
Yeah, sure. My main takeaway, though, has just been, you know, I feel like I tend to read things that are more like on the like
spectrum.
Universe scale of, you know, like black hole sort of whatever
yeah.
sort of stuff. Like the end. I remember I read this book like a year ago called The End of Everything, Astrophysically Speaking. And that book is great. And I feel like it's almost stuff like that can be so up its own ass in terms of science and explanation and what you visualize that it almost doesn't I don't know. It doesn't, it's like trying to understand a million or a billion or something, where it doesn't really resonate in my head in such a meaningful way. Where reading this book and thinking about the all of the types of life and diversity and narratives and passage of time, it's so insane. It's like deflating to think it's such an insane context to consider that we are
a part of that.
In that, yeah.
Yeah, like it's inevitable that we'll go through that ebb and flow.
Uh-huh.
You know, ice age and all that other shit that we experience.
Well, the thing I keep thinking about is, ooh, is there a world in which mankind is alive for 100 million years?
In a lot of our sci-fi novels, they are.
Yeah.
Okay, but that means we have off-planet
how
colonies.
How long is that? Like, how much peace do we have to find as a civilization?
Come on. Oh, we're never going to find it. But, like, do we really want to be alive that long?
Right.
That's 100 million years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 80 is a long time.
Yeah.
80 is a long time.
No, that is true.
It's like, come.
But that's because, you know, that's relative time.
Yeah, it's also like, I don't know, man. If you told me every single, if I got to live to 400 years old.
Yeah.
And all I had to drink was milk and all I had to eat was cheese, would I want to do that? No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either.
I wouldn't do that. And I couldn't move.
Yeah.
Right? I wouldn't do that. That doesn't sound fun. And that's kind of what you're asking.
What a weird imagination that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just insane. Like, why is that?
I can only eat cheese and milk and I can't move.
You can't eat cheese. You drink the cheese.
You drink the cheese and you eat the milk. Okay. Got it.
Can't move.
Yeah. What is this context? It's like Saw meets like Blade.
No, neither of the. No, I'm saying like that's just like what it would be like if we lived. If humans are
in order for humans to be able to do that, like metabolically speaking, they would have to change in form to be some kind of ghoulish creature that only eats dairy in two different forms.
Figure it out, because right now the way we're doing it,
It ain't working, bub. We're only living to be 80.
David Goggins, who's the guy who runs a lot, I don't know. And like,
I don't know.
You know, he's not going to make it past 120.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It just ain't going to happen. So, I don't know. The age of the Earth. I think it's really interesting. Once again, a topic that I go, okay, you know what I mean? Nothing I can do about it personally because the age of the Earth still ages.
Yeah, sure.
If you're asking
how
me
old is the Earth in your mind?
I mean, honestly, if you want me to give a real number, I'd say 20 billion years old.
Older than the universe.
I'd say 20 billion years old.
Yeah,
that's what I'd say.
I think the general accepted numbers are 13.8 billion years for the universe and about 4.6 billion for Earth.
Okay, so it's off.
Yeah, not 100%. You're not totally wrong.
Wrong.
You said billion.
Yeah, I was up there.
Uh-huh.
But this is what I would do
Paul
about
Giamatti.
Earth's age.
Yeah.
Why don't we celebrate it every birthday?
Yes.
Why don't we celebrate it every birthday?
Yeah.
Think about that. Yeah. Think about the way I said
that. Why don't we celebrate it every birthday?
Why don't we celebrate it every birthday? And what about Earth Day? That just started. And that's more of like a conservation day. It's not like Earth's birthday.
Do you think it would make people go insane if instead of, you know, like New Year's, like if we switch from whatever that is, the Gregorian calendar or something, if we switch to actual age of the Earth and we go like, hey, it's year 4.7 billion 691.
Insane.
Yeah, I do feel like it's almost too much context for people to realize the smallness of our
yeah
lives.
we can't handle
yeah. Like, I almost think that even the Gregorian will have to reset when that number starts to get a little bit weird.
Yeah, we're like, ooh,
like 3,000 people are gonna start going, I don't know, so it's gonna just keep going on.
We just do another religion.
Yeah, can we just start over and get it? Let's go ahead
let's
and
just do
say
another
this
religion
is zero.
Let's just do another religion.
Yeah.
That's what. So even though I said that's what I would do, and I said we shouldn't do it, I'm still for what I said we should do to not do it.
Yeah. I really agree with the sort of Bilbo Baggins of that thought.
Thank you.
Now, what I would do about the age of the Earth is what I just said, actually, is I think we got to just hide that from ourselves because it is causing me some pretty crushing existential anxiety.
Yeah.
It's really doing a number.
You brought it up on your Instagram. You're bringing it up on the pod. And you're
well,
talk
I want
to
spread it a little bit. I
we
think
don't
it's kind of
it.
One of the, it's a little bit of the trying to pass off the ring. I'm trying to pass off Samara a little bit.
Yeah.
Where I go, maybe if someone else can take on a little of that existential dread, I can relax.
Yeah, but you opened it.
Yeah. So but I've now switched over. I'm reading some you know books on philosophy now to sort of come to terms with the experience.
I got some books on fairies and elves.
Yeah,
that might be up your alley.
It's a little bit. That's a little bit too sort of academic and dense for me, those books. I've kind of taken a look at some of those of yours, and they're really, really complicated.
There's no pictures.
There's a lot of charts, though, and it's
no
really, really complicated, and it switches into all sorts of languages,
yeah,
just kind of in the middle
the
of
authors
the...
change hands.
Yeah, and like... you can tell that book smells like shit.
Yeah. All right, we're talking about that dog in me.
Yeah. Now, again, I really do feel like I'm not even asking for praise or credit or anything, but I do feel like when we have certain subjects like this, I think I deserve credit for not deleting them.
Why?
I'm just saying, I think I deserve, just because, you know, I feel
I
like.
I kept in the age of the earth.
Yeah, which is great.
The dawn
and
of the earth.
It's interesting.
And so is that dog in
yeah,
you.
Yeah, so let's hear about this a little bit, because I need to know.
You know what this is.
I was starting to delete it, and then I thought, you know, let's hear her out.
Let's hear her out. I want to know from you, that dog in you, what does that mean?
I guess it's sort of that, like, raw determination to succeed or prevail.
Yes.
Okay, so it's like competitiveness?
Yes. But it's that thing that says, I ain't going to quit.
Yeah.
I ain't going to let anyone push me around. I got that dog in me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
D-A-W-G. Not a real dog. And I think that's a crucial point to make. Because a D-O-G in me is a different thing than a dog, D-A-W-G.
Yeah.
And that distinction, I think, is very American and says a lot about us and how we view ourselves.
Now, please sit back, relax, and enjoy AMC Theaters, the AMC experience. That's really interesting. I feel like, for me, when I feel like I'm really, like, pushing myself past, like, a physical limit, I feel like less like a dog, I become more like a zombie, where I go, like, my consciousness is going to go to a completely other place right now. And I'm going to just say, I think the body's going to figure it out.
Pure will.
Yeah. Like in a sporting event and working out, I feel that that's what it is. Like, I don't, because some people, they go like, they turn it. I've seen you do it where you go like, yeah, yeah, and you're really working. I never turn that on. That never turns on for me. I just go like, I'm actually going to do this even more silently now.
That's your dog.
Yeah. My dog is total silent. And agony.
That's that dog.
Yeah.
I don't think that's wrong either. I think there's something that clicks over where you're going into like fundamentals, muscle memory.
Yeah.
Just like, this is what we got to do. That is a part of the dog. You know, where it's
I
like,
wish we were pronouncing it muscle. I got to tell you, I really do wish we were pronouncing it muscle.
Why don't we?
I mean,
from here on out.
Yeah, I'm willing.
From here on out, we're pronouncing
it
muscle.
I just, every time I see it,
that's what
I say.
That's what it is.
That's what I say in my head.
Colonel.
Muscle.
Colonel. It's not colonel. Yeah. It's colonel.
I know, dude. I'm sick and tired of acting like it's colonel.
It's colonel.
It's colonel and it's muscle. And also, and just for good measure, I've been saying this one for about 11 years.
Yeah.
I always pronounce it Boulevard.
Wow.
It's over on Maine.
Santa Monica
Maine Boulevard.
Boulevard actually sounds more.
It's pretty fun to say.
But it's also like more elevated than Boulevard.
And by the Boulevard. Way, no one will ever correct you. I've literally been saying it for 11 years. And
what
no
are they
one has ever
do?
Corrected me.
Because now they're going, am I saying it wrong?
Yeah, they're like, Boulevard.
I mean, is phonetic.
Yeah. So you go Boulevard, Muscle,
Colonel.
And Colonel.
And these are for our listeners who are in active service right now.
Yeah.
You have our permission to call any ranking colonel. A colonel.
Yeah.
Right? That's on us. And guess what? If they give you any shit, tell them to talk to us.
Now, here's the thing. I really do feel like this ultimately is a conversation about competitiveness. And I'm curious, do you feel like you're a competitive person?
No, not really.
I feel like you're like pretty okay with losing.
I don't give a shit. Like,
yeah, like you just kind of, that's basically where I go as well. I feel like you basically hit, it's like I've spent my 10,000 hours losing.
Yeah, I don't care.
I've lost enough things that I just don't really care.
I will say though, like we're talking about that dog in us, right? Like what gives us that edge? What gives us that thing that like pushes us to that other place? Because that's also what they're talking about. What's that thing in you that drives you to be better, to do better?
Yeah.
That like is like now makes you that 1% of whatever the fuck you're doing. And I gotta be honest, a lot of it, my drive comes from when I'm like, oh, I got an enemy right now.
Yeah, resentment's a big motivator for me as well.
If somebody pisses me off or someone slights me in this way, I'm like, well, now I got a reason to fucking dunk.
Yeah. Which though, it's almost a little bit of sunk cost fallacy because that's kind of how this industry makes me feel, where I feel so like, oh, really? You're not going to validate me as
well,
I want to be validated?
Let's fucking go.
Yeah.
But
then it just keeps you in it.
It does. But
that's ultimately quite human, I feel.
I will say that there has been a shift in my thinking in that regard of not making it just purely negative as a centrifuge for output, where looking at it more so as like, look, it's really not personal, even though I can't help but take it personal because like my expression that you've just diminished.
Yeah.
But now you're asking me to, like, okay, I don't want to feel this way, and I also don't want to be, like, you know, inspired by this kind of spite. I want to feel more autonomy and more, you know, ability to do the things my own way in the way I want to do them.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's going to, you know, have the same kind of polish or the same kind of reach as using the machine.
Yeah.
As a megaphone.
I feel like I want to not ask for permission.
Yeah, right. Just do the thing.
That's ultimately most people's professional goal.
I'm bringing COVID in there. Okay.
Yeah.
I have not made things that I enjoy. I've not made art. I've not made things that like I like to make for the sake of making it. And I think that's been an issue because so many things that like have been on the mind are like, this has got to work out. All so this shit. And it's not, it loses that spark of fun. That also is that dog in me, because when I'm doing something fun or I'm doing something that's like driving me, like this is a great expression of me. This is like a nice building block into something bigger. I don't know what that is yet, but I need to do this thing to like see this other piece, whatever. That to me is like part of that dog in you where you're seeing someone do their own thing. That's where I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Uh-huh. Keep going after, keep getting it. And it's obviously when you talk about a sport context, team sport, that's like, okay, that dog means that guy just beat the shit out of that other guy, right? But I think there is that way in any world where you can take that piece of that, like, you know, fuck, let's go get it, to make yourself feel good, make yourself feel emboldened, not in a selfish way, not to hurt anybody else, but to feel accomplished, to be like, no, do it, get it done. And then the next thing, like, yeah, fuck yeah, yeah. Or like that building.
Yeah, you actually have a real dog in you sort of vibe about you lately.
Let's go, man.
Let's really go. Yeah. Where it's a little bit of what I would call a sociopathic edge.
Yeah.
I like that.
Me too.
No, I'm happy for you.
I'm happy for you because you're a part of it.
Yeah. Hey, I have a little bit of it as well.
Yeah, but it's not.
I keep a steady hand.
Yeah, but your sociopathic edge is like you're still taking all different like toys and like you know, dismembering them, burying them into like the backyard.
No. I love to take apart. Well, you're talking about Furby, but I used to like to take apart my army guys. They would always have a screw right in the back, and then you could just take off their limbs, whatever. But I would always replace them. And I kind of make all the guys a little bit like Sid from Toy Story.
But
for me, it was like now they're so cool and they're my favorite guy. I would never blow up my guys. I would just give them different legs or a different color pattern because I liked how that looked.
That's nice.
Yeah. Okay. That's what it was all about. It was kind of fun to just change them.
That's that dog in you.
Yeah. That dog in me is I like to just change them.
So I just, you know, something to think about. Well, we all got a dog in us.
Yeah.
And I do want to just for a moment talk, because it's a 10-minute episode, the DOG versus not the Department of Defense.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the DOG as in the dog versus DAWG.
Yeah.
And the DAWG is such like a colloquialism, like a cultural like touchstone of like that dog. It's like a person, like an individual.
That it actually becomes primordial.
Yes.
It's spiritual.
Yeah.
Yeah. DAWG makes it.
DAWG.
Oh yeah. That makes it so that it's from something before Earth. It's pre-Earth for sure.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's like this. It's the spirit.
Yeah,
it's like in Harry Potter when they have their Patronus,
the two wolves that are chasing the moon and the sun, and like
whatever
Ragnarok. That's what it's about, because there is that. I forgot to say there's two wolves inside you, like fighting for power. The one you feed is the one that like takes over. Like,
Was
it anger, like, you know, peace, whatever.
Oh yeah, that's a Greek thing, right?
I'm not sure.
Oh well, there's a Greek one about like expectation and or no emotional versus intellectual or something. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Your identity is how you direct the two things.
Well, there's no dog in that, you know, metaphor.
Sure.
But I like that. And this is what I want to say. This is what I would do about having that dog in you.
Yeah.
Okay. The idea that there is like an actual dog that you're feeding inside. I like that visual, but I'm going to take that away. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in a furry costume. There's two versions of you in a furry costume inside your body. Mm. And you got to feed both of those furries. Right. Yeah. But they don't eat dog food. Okay. They eat what you eat. So what is it going to be? A little sandwich. So you got to decide which one of these furries are you going to feed?
Yeah.
And they both look the same and you're going to forget which one is which.
Yeah.
So you're going
to. So you got, it's like twins. You got to just keep in your mind. Like that one has, I think that one has a cut on its
not 100%, but remember to feed the right furry inside of you to keep that dog going. All right,
now here's what I would do, is because I always feel like I don't know if the thing is happening with that sort of like with a physical sensation, you know.
Yep.
So with the dog in me, I feel like what I would want is a sort of like Mortal Kombat video game narrator who says when the dog has been activated.
Gotcha.
So that I know, because a lot of the time I'm like, isn't the dog always in me, or isn't it always isn't it the patience or whatever the thing is. But I wanted to go, oh, when I'm lifting a weight or something, then it goes, dog activated. That's the dog is in him. And then and now I'm like, oh, whoa, now is the, okay, so now I got that extra umph.
So you're not controlling it.
Yeah, it's just as activated, and I just go you like, just oh, I guess, here, throw me that weight.
Yeah.
And I'm going to really push myself because the dog's
that's
in me
awesome.
At that moment.
It's good to know.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I think that you really do care.
I do.
again, this is one where I had those thumbs, my thumbs just hovering over the keyboard going, I think I should delete this one.
Nope.
But instead I said, it's Joey's birthday.
Yes.
It's his birthday today. And I convinced myself that this was true and I allow it to be true. And so we're going with that yellow light.
Yellow stop light. Say the whole thing. You're not. You're like. You don't even say it right. You don't even.
It's a, I thought it said that yellow light, but you're wrong. It's that dog in you, and then it's yellow stop light.
Yellow stop light. Very specific. Yeah. Yellow light.
Or probably, yellow traffic light.
Sure.
If it's in the. Sure. If it's in the rule book.
You know what I'm. You know what I'm fucking
totally,
saying.
Totally.
And the reason I bring this up because it might be common only to L.A. Maybe just cities. Maybe everywhere. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the phenomena of a left or right turn signal at a yellow light means that everyone agrees in this four stop that more people are going to be going.
Yes. Than no, wait, dude. I have such a relevant anecdote about this. When I was first learning how to drive in Chicago, I was at a red light or a green light that was like turning or whatever. And it was, there was a cop, I think he was directly across from me. And he started like wailing on his horn for me to turn like through the yellow light. Or maybe he was right. No, he must have been right behind me, honking at me to go and do the thing where you push out, which I'd seen my mom do a bunch of times, but I always was like, I don't think that's good driving. But then literally I saw a cop going like, go, you're supposed to pull up and turn when it's red, you know?
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
It's insane.
And people will really push it.
They really will. Like in LA, you get like, okay, it's yellow. Two cars have gone, you know what I mean? Like, and the other traffic has stopped. They're just sneaking by. Now it's full on red.
Yeah.
Three more cars.
I will never push the yellow left turn. I never would do that.
No.
But I'll push a yellow basically to the brink of madness.
Yeah. It also, like, it depends on so many factors. How busy is traffic? How bad do I get a shit? But I will say
left yellow turn, it's like opening up the size of the accident matrix where there's you're availing yourself to more accident potential.
Do the people that like blow through the stop line, whatever the fuck it is, the traffic line for a yellow, like going straight.
Yeah.
Those people upset me the most. Like when they're like, because you're like, because we got people turning. Like.
Yeah. Truly bad drivers.
And
really
the people in the turn lane are cutting off traffic for other. I'm like, with the selfish.
Yep.
But it also makes me go, when the light turns green, I never bolt on it. I'm like, no, someone's
turning. I've had way too many close calls. Someone's when the light turns green, I'll just wait still look. With the world like it is right now, there's no trust.
Also,
there's no trust,
like,
in the traffic light system.
You get it. I'm like, you just take it. You got that far. You inch that farther up. Like, you get it.
That's basically how I feel about all like aggression in traffic. I just go, go, dude.
I'm plugged.
I don't give
a fuck. I think we talked about this a while ago, but just like, I'm zen now.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Like, what are you going to do?
But I will in my car go, you stupid motherfucker.
Yeah, but you're looking at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, I'm looking at my mirror and I'm willing myself to sweat as much as possible.
Yes, only
you
in the face.
You weak motherfucker.
Which is a great acting technique. Like, if you can only sweat in your face.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
No, it's a famed acting technique.
No,
it's a flush of panic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Marlon Brando did that on A Touch of the River Kwai.
Mm-hmm. Right before he fell off the dam to his death.
So this is what I would do about yellow.
Right into it. You're making this a fast.
It's a 10-minute epi, dude.
I love that.
It's a 10-minute epi.
I really appreciate that.
We have to do it.
I have a meeting in 30 minutes.
I know. So this is what I would do about yellow stop lights.
Okay.
Like traffic lights, if you will.
Sure.
What I would do is I would make that the only light on either side. So no matter.
It's just only ever yellow.
All around.
So it's basically a stop sign.
No. Because you can go through a yellow light. You have to
anyone can go through. I mean, that's basically, I feel like I've seen them do that in like India and Africa where it's sort of just this continuous motion and everyone's just making it work. Is that basically what you're saying?
I'm saying, but in America.
That's not going to work in America.
I'm saying in America, though. Not in India or
Africa. But it's not going to work in America.
Well, it's going to have to, Ben, because there's the only light that's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I mean, ultimately, I like it a little bit. I like the non-rigidity of the system.
Yeah.
I've also driven a car before and I see how people drive their cars and the Americans can't handle that. There's no, everyone is like, no, I get the right of way. I get to drive the fastest. I don't use turn signals.
I don't know. I think it's something that we just got to see on its feet.
Yeah. No, I'm willing to see it on its feet as well, but I personally will not be driving during that beta test. I'm going to sit that one out.
I need someone to have cameras all around their car to take little photos of what's going on.
I think that here's what I would do about yellow traffic lights. I would actually make it more about driver's education overall. And I would say that I would want to have a more like like a more casual driver's ed system where they tell you like actually what is good and what is bad in driving principle as opposed to what is illegal. Because stuff like that, I'm like, you people, everyone is going to inch out and do that. Or I remember, you know, it says 150 feet in a rural area when you have to turn your turn signal on. Like, what is it actually? Because I think it's about 2 feet.
Well, I think how much?
And I think in city traffic, it's actually about 2 feet.
It's like, no,
no one cares.
There's
no
something, I think it's like, 300 feet or something like that. You turn on your turn signal. Like, that's
sure.
Like, you're supposed to do it like way sooner.
Yeah. Well, I remember that from driver's education in Chicago for sure. Where I still think I'm like, don't you got to turn on?
Why
like,
do you say education?
What do you mean?
Driver's ed.
Oh, I guess, yeah. I don't know. I often avoid that sort of thing for
driver's
some reason.
Driver's ed?
Yeah, like I feel like I would more naturally say physical education than phys ed.
Jeez.
There's just something wrong with me. I don't know what it is. Well, no, I do know what it is. There's a lot of things wrong with me, and all of them are not relevant to the current conversation, so we're going to leave those out.
Okay.
And in fact, bleep everything I'm saying right now, okay. now, and now I'm back in.
Gotcha.
But here's what I want, though, overall with the yellow light thing. I want us to all agree a little bit more. I don't you feel like sometimes they're shorter and sometimes they're longer?
Yeah.
Like, I feel that we need to agree that a yellow light is a certain amount of time.
Well, the fucking sensors are supposed to, like, work for, like, that. And then I understand, like, certain busier streets are going to have the priority to, like, let that traffic congestion move and all this shit. But
do you ever have those lights where it's, like, late at night, it's, like, around midnight?
Oh, my God.
Where it'll be green and then it goes red, and then 1 second later it's green again?
Yeah.
Like, why did you change it?
Yeah, why did you do that?
Yeah.
Who the fuck is running the machine? Because you know it's one person per light that does that.
No, it's an algorithm.
No, sure. It's not. It's
for
one person per light that flips a little switch.
I would be curious. I would like to sit in on that job.
With one person doing that?
Yeah.
Well, then you're just going to be looking at one street section.
Okay. Moving right along. Now, this one is interesting to me as well, because I almost am like, were you coming up with these as you were driving here or something? It's almost like each thing is like something you witnessed on the way here. And so this one is, what is it? Dual screens in public? Now, I don't know that I've even witnessed this.
Yeah, because you don't go to the places I go to, man.
Yeah. So you're always at Best Buy. My social club at Best Buy. There's so many freaking
screens. It's a men's club,
here.
Okay? We go into the studio room, okay? And it's like enclosed, and we get to watch a couple minutes of a movie.
Yeah.
So
we watched 9 minutes of a live 2018 Led Zeppelin concert.
It's awesome, dude, okay? Those Sonoses are sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I was recently at a pretty, pretty posh coffee spot.
Okay.
All right? It was pretty nice. It was pretty deep in there. And
you were pretty deep in there.
The coffee shop.
What do you mean?
The coffee shop was huge. It was like, oh shit.
And you were deep in it. Are there multiple counters?
Just let me finish what I'm saying. Like, all of this.
Now, I'm like, is it at Google? Is it on a campus? You were pretty deep in there.
Mike,
are you just, sometimes you just say words so I don't speak? Like, you're going, well, I gotta hold the
because
microphone.
This is what happens. You don't let me finish, and then it gets confusing.
No, but
confusing.
Then the things you say are confusing.
Because you didn't let
me
finish.
I was pretty deep in there.
You didn't let me finish. Of course it's confused. You cut me off in the middle of it.
Go on.
So, it is a large coffee shop, not a Google. It's a coffee shop. And I go inside. It's a big boy shop. And I'm in there, right? And they have a lot of tables. A lot of them can fit multiple people, like a round table, et cetera, like cafeteria style. But it's like posh, it's nice. And of course, one of these, I like just take a spot because this dude, like many of all of the people there, has his laptop open on a headset doing business at a coffee shop. Totally fine. Totally fine. But I also get to sit at this table. You don't.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't get it.
Sure.
But the reason I chose this guy, even though he was on a call loudly, talking about quarterly earnings, whatever, was because the table that was also available, which had like two seats open to it, was another guy on his laptop. But it wasn't a laptop. It was two like fucking screens that he brought and connected these two like big ass screens and was doing like day trading, whatever the fuck he was doing, with like a keyboard and a mouse. And I saw that and I was like, that is insane.
Yeah.
I think we're all comfortable now with someone doing what that guy was doing. He's on his computer and he's on a Zoom publicly, right? I think that's insane.
That is insane.
But still, accepted societally.
I think if you can't be fully discreet, it's insane. They shouldn't be on a meeting where there's talking.
You shouldn't be a FaceTime in public, like screaming. Yeah. Like you can be FaceTime, but, like away. I can like pop into your conversation as I'm walking by, but you can't be in like a public space doing that.
Were they like collapsible screens? Like
no.
Was it-
No, these
like
were
it was like these are like Panasonic bring like wrap screens like
yeah.
the big
yeah, uh-huh. yeah yeah which I imagine like I don't know what
that's really odd
so odd uh-huh. but it's not the first time I've seen that where someone brings out like a fucking display screen like a gaming screen.
I'm not above doing like bring out my laptop and then use my iPad as a connected screen if I'm
that's
gonna
fine.
Like edit something
that seems that to me is like fine that's like yeah. a modest
like
screen.
it all connects. Although, well, you know, I have this, like, I have a knee-jerk response against people being anti the computer in the public space. To me, it removes so much social anxiety from my life to just always be able to pull out my computer. Like, nothing upsets me more than when I'm not allowed to have my computer
the
on,
the thing
like,
that I find, like,
place.
Most annoying...
Or when people are hostile to you because you have a computer at, like, some place. I hate that.
Well, I think there's etiquette to
yeah, degree. Yeah.
Like, there's certain places where it's a coffee shop. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
But I do find also that it's annoying.
But you're saying, but they pushed it too far.
They pushed it
who
too far.
Who gives a fuck normally, but if you're bringing in two screens and having
a
day
that's
trading
a home,
meeting on Zoom.
Like, you know what I mean? You're like, go to a fucking public library.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck?
But, I mean, you do have to ask yourself, what's going on at home?
What is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck? Maybe they traded their home.
Yeah.
And that's why they're there.
Yeah.
But I found that just insane. But there is something that I find also annoying about computers in public spaces. And this is a generalization.
Are you tech savvy?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I kind of feel like I want to say no, and that's why you have hostility towards
well,
people.
Well, no, this is why I'm...
Because I feel like you're really mad.
Well, I'll tell you why. You okay. keep on cutting me the fuck off before I get
it's
to it.
It's just conversation.
So when people are on their computers and they're doing work, or they're like, let's say they're actually at work, or they're working on a script, etc., there are certain kind of inconveniences, hurdles, etc., that present themselves. Yeah, open that up.
Oh my god,
just open it up.
You're like,
just open
you're
it up.
Like Mother Superior. You're so mad at everything
just drink,
I do.
Just drink.
Everything I do is a slight
just
against
drink.
You. You run the convent. I am an orphan girl here. No matter what I do, is me stepping out of line. It's crazy. Let a boy sip.
Let a boy sip. Well, it's an all-women's convent, okay? That's why we're upset at you. All right, so is that I see people in distress and annoyed and upset by the goings-on of the coffee shop as they're trying to reorganize their thoughts or get something done on the laptop. When it's like, you came here to this public place where people are doing whatever.
Yeah.
You cannot be upset at this. You cannot give me a look.
That's true.
Like,
if you're doing that, you have to accept every single thing.
That's it.
That's true.
So I'm like, it's not my job to now curtail my conversation
and this
or my
is a
volume.
Popular place that you're
in? Yeah, it was packed. It was fucking packed. And I was really blown away by that, like seeing people like kind of cagey or like... Jesus.
Like, I feel like you could do it at a bougie place. You could do that at, what's that place? Not called the Harvard Club. What's it called? The
Soho House?
Soho House. I feel like you can do that there.
Oh, no shit. Of course. But yeah, that's a paid like membership.
Yeah, yeah. To go to like a...
This
coffee
is a,
spot. That's pretty odd. That, why do you want to do that?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
I don't understand it, but it was so crazy. I was like, what the fuck? Now, I've seen it before, not common, but I've seen it enough where I'm like, this is like a handful of times I've seen people bring out giant screens in public spaces.
It has to do something with availability of Wi-Fi, coffee.
Sure, but like just the
it's really odd.
Like,
yeah, no, it's
so
really,
odd.
Really odd.
And it wasn't like a janky setup. This was like nice shit. Everything was clean. Everything was organized. It was just surreal to me of like, are you flexing?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay. Would you hate it more if they were playing a video game?
I don't know. That would just be so weird.
Yeah. If they're just standing at like a counter in a cafe and they're just playing Halo.
I'd be like, all right, well, this is, if it was a LAN cafe, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. That
makes
sense.
Yeah, no,
it's
just
not.
Like Intelligentsia. They're just like sitting at one of the back things, got the screen up and they're playing Halo.
I'd be like, that's so insane. That's so
hipster.
That
you almost like it?
Yeah. Well, I'm like, I don't.
Like, it's better than day trading.
Very much.
Yeah.
Very much. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Like,
what
least...
if they're, okay, they're playing Halo and they have a headset on and they keep going like, yo, you motherfucker. But they're like, they're trying to be discreet with it.
Yeah.
Like, they're not screaming out. They're going like, oh, fuck, 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 fuck. Oh,
I'd watch that prank
sticky
show.
Sticky grenade. And they're playing
coming
like
in,
that.
Coming in.
Yeah, I'd
love that.
Yeah.
I would.
Okay, so then it does matter. The content of what they're doing matters.
Well, that's disruptive to everybody. That guy.
So then you almost go like that. Respect.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, that you're a psycho.
Okay, now dude. What if I was there and I had two monitors and a laptop But it was all for something I'm writing. So there's like all these words and scripts and hate books. And, yeah, you hate that more as well.
Well, because now you're not only taking a
premise. So it's work. What it is work. Because you don't like the idea that they're doing work. But if they're playing, then you support it more.
Always support play over work.
Okay.
But I support that. The thing that obsessed me about the two giant screens and like the writing is like premium real estate for like, you don't need that many screens for your writing. Like that,
if I'm referencing a book as that, I'm editing a script and I'm writing it in a new draft.
If you had a book open and your laptop, I'd be like, cool.
But what if the screen is just easier for me because then I can copy and paste it between devices? What if it is? You know, these are the questions.
Man, I'd be okay, so upset.
Okay, one last one. Just out of curiosity, because I'm trying to make sure
I'm getting hot, dude. I'm getting hot.
What if there is a guy? All right, he's in 100% head-to-toe medical scrubs. He's got a mask on. And he's got three screens, and he's just clearly doing a robotic surgery.
Like remote surgery.
Yeah, like he's got a thing, and he's like really focused on it, and he's sweating. He's got glasses.
He's working.
Tip of his nose. He's looking at it, and he's trying to make sure he's getting the thing, and he's pushing it, and he's getting right in there, and you see him like, cut. Oh, he pulls something out, and he's doing all this stuff there.
No.
You don't like that either.
Work.
Yeah.
That's work, dude.
But it's kind of got some game vibe to it.
But you know what? It's fucked up because he's right by the bathroom, and I can't go because I'm going to knock his elbow.
Yeah.
Like, the device is going to shoot forward.
But then don't you kind of go, like, that's kind of cool that he's willing to let that person's life hang in the past.
No, I'm not. I'm not cool about that.
Yeah, no.
Because now it's like the whole...
Because if you know that person, you're like,
what the fuck are you doing? Yeah.
But let's say that there's like a casual restraining order against him in the hospital.
What's a casual restraining order?
Where they're all just like, it's not that he did anything wrong. It's more that you just feel like
just don't like him.
Weird. I don't like him.
Well,
being
then I don't kind of want him to.
It's like
surgery.
I feel like something like that happened on House MD.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Where they don't want like Dr. House around, and
he's an alcoholic. Isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I think he's really more into pills.
He's
but
abusive and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
not a soft restraint. That's like a hard. That's
yeah.
Like a,
yeah. Yeah. But he's still like a practicing doctor. But I think he's being investigated a lot on that show.
Yeah.
I don't seem to recall
a lot of malpractice.
But yeah. So you just don't like if they're doing work, but if it's play, it's all good.
If it's play, all day.
Yeah. I love that. Well, the thing I would do then with dual screens out in the world is I think what you got to do is you have to open them up so completely and make sure that it's supposed to be social. So you have to have, if you're going to go like, I'm going to go work, I have two screens, you got to bring a third screen and that one is playing something that's entertaining to passersby. So you go like, I'm taking up some space here, but also I got the game on. If you guys want to watch the game, game's on right
great.
Over here.
That's great.
And so then you can kind of chat with them, and it's kind of more of a like inclusive sort of. And then you're like, oh, sorry, hold on. I'm just bankrupting Belize now. And then you're just kind of
that's
doing that.
That's great. Yeah. This is what I would do about dual screens in public is that, you know those little bats you get at baseball games, little ones?
Are they inflatable or are they made of wood?
Little wood.
Yes. Yeah. Love those.
You get to use that to break the screens.
Yes. Is there any, like you just, now, because when you say you get to use that to break the screens,
I can't use any other thing. If I don't have that little bat on me, I can't break the screen.
Okay. So you're basically saying that if a person is so committed to breaking computer screens that they carry around the little bat with them at all
times.
They
get to do it.
Yes. But so then
because those bats get lost all the time.
It's easy to lose those. So I tried to hold on to one as a kid and I didn't.
You're not, you got good. You better do it that day.
Yeah.
You better go hunting.
Yeah.
That day.
Yeah. Yeah. So then that also, it's kind of a little bit of a warning to people who are going to have the multiple screens. If it's around one of those baseball times, and you're in a baseball neighborhood, you're going to want to make sure you don't bring that screen.
Yeah, if you're in a baseball city, good luck.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's what I like about that is random acts of violence and hostility in the world, I do think is what we all need.
We need it.
Yeah, that'll just make everything better.
Yeah,
they'll teach you to bring out your computer screen and trust that society will leave it be.
Keep us on edge to keep us together.
Yeah.
I have bad news for you.
Why must I be tortured again by all this?
It might be a strange idea, but it's mine.
So, here we go.
You have fingernails. You like them.
Mm-hmm.
You decide to get them polished. You go into a nail polish salon. They go and they polish your nails. While they're polishing, you realize that the reflection is so clear, not only can you see yourself, but you can see yourself younger. You ask your younger self what to do about the blues. Not thinking about the sadness, but the music genre. You become obsessed with it lately. It's a sound that brings you a lot of joy and comfort. You have a couple CDs. None of them are able to be played because there's no CD player in your car. So what you do is you take a photo of the album cover, look on Apple Music, download that music digitally. You listen to it on your drives around. Now you tell this all to your younger self looking at your nail that sees your younger self. Your younger self is not into blues, much as though not young people like not young people like Brussels sprouts because of the bitterness with on the tongue.
Much right? as though. I've never
Much
heard that before.
Much as though young
never people. Never in my life have I heard that phrase.
Well, you
Much
heard it
as
now.
Though.
You've heard it now.
Much as though young people don't like Brussels sprouts. Put it in a book.
All right. You ask yourself, younger self, what to do about the blues. What does your younger self say to you?
What does my younger self know about anything? Why am I asking my younger self anything?
That's because you can
what
see yourself
know
in
about
your nails.
The blues? What do they know about the blues? Everything
no, no,
I
no,
fucking
no, no,
know.
No, 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 not what they know. What
I can
to do.
I contain
what to
them.
Do?
I don't care. I don't care, and I put no stock into the capacity of my younger self as reflected to me in my nails.
Dude.
Okay? I look at that, and I say, this is basically a mood ring of some kind.
Dude,
this is some dumb science.
Fucking imagine.
It makes no fucking sense whatsoever.
Made sense
and
to
I
me.
Say, I don't care. I'll just listen to the blues.
Made sense to me.
Okay, great. You are a candidate for an experimental medical.
I'm a candy man.
You're a candy man for an experimental medical procedure. And because you deliver so much candy, they go, let's go ahead and make you one of our possible candidates as well.
I'm a candy
So you're
candy.
In this thing, and they're like, we're going to cure all of this body. Any body aches that you have, any pains, any potentials for various types of cancers or any sort of degenerative diseases. We have actually created, in every single time that you've come in here delivering candy, we have scanned your body and we have actually made these little nanobots that are tiny nanite versions of you. They think like you, they look like you, they act like you. We believe if we inject them into your bloodstream that they can fix who you are. Do you trust these little yous to do that job?
I got nothing wrong with me.
I got nothing wrong with me, he says to the doctor.
I got nothing wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to shoot something inside of me and make it candy? Because I got nothing wrong with me, doctor.
Great.
And I take them off my route. I don't
drop Great. I don't trust those guys.
Okay. Let's see here. So you are trying to make a salami bowl. That's a bowl made out of salami. But one giant piece of salami. Now, as you know, salami is just a whole bunch of pieces of meat put in a tube. And then they put a little wax over it and that makes it salami. But you want to make a big old salami bowl.
Yeah.
So you are going to have to 3D print a certain kind of process that puts all the salami out beyond that tube into a bowl. Through your different experimentation, you find out that not only can you not make the bowl, but the salami stays delicious. Still wanting to make that bowl, you figure out a way to use it, but you got to cup your hands in a way that makes it hurt. So when the salami gets shot out, you hold your hands like that, and then it makes a little bowl. It's not the size of the bowl that you wanted to make because you wanted to make a big salad bowl out of salami. So when you eat the salami salad, you can also eat the bowl. So you don't got to add salami into the salad. It's already bowl.
Uh-huh.
But now you got these little hand-cupped salami bowls uh-huh. right?
Not the size I wanted, but they still taste delicious.
What do you do?
I guess I go, well, I still have these little ones. Surely I can figure out if I'm 3D printing. I feel like you use the salami.
No, but that didn't work out.
Okay. Yeah. I guess this is a great time for me to just kind of throw in the towel and go, I don't really need that. All the things I tried didn't really work and I'm not really fixing a problem that
exists.
So
you don't want to finish what you started?
No, it's just another sunk cost fallacy. Okay. Before I get into my next one, let me just ask you 5 questions. What's the tallest dog?
Shit, probably St. Bernard.
What's a prime number?
Badass one.
What's your favorite font?
Helvetica.
Nice. Who watches The Watchmen?
Some creep ass.
Worst character in Lord of the Rings?
Wow. I'm probably gonna say this is a toughie. Most likely, probably Sherman.
Sherman. Almost unspoken of traditionally. But they say one thing about him and they're like, he's a mean geezer.
Yeah, Sherman's a piece of shit.
That's great. You have some like alphabet soup. And every single time that you...
What do you mean like? Is it alphabet
it's,
soup?
It's off-brand. You got it at Costco. Okay, so you got a Costco, and it's off brand. It's they're huge letters. The letters come out in all sorts of different shapes
Massive
and sizes.
Noodles.
Yeah, right. But so, and yeah, they're so large that you have to pour them into a pool, and that's the only way you can eat them.
Damn.
So you pour them in, and then it says, we are here. And you're like, whoa, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And so then you're like, I guess I'll wait for another message. So you let it there. It starts to rot. It's sitting in this pool for a while. And then eventually it slimes together again. It says, alien visitors, we are here.
Oh, shit.
Now, you remember that this was basically a plot line in Muppets in Space. And so you go like, I don't remember that movie. Something with Gonzo and the aliens. Yeah, maybe it was Cereal. And he finds out he's an alien, yeah. Right? Yeah. And so you go, I think it's that kind of scenario.
Yeah.
And then you find out actually it's your roommates and they're pranking you. And they got it all on video and they put it up on YouTube. And because the second time that they spelled out the letters, you started crying. You had this little erection. You're going like, I can't believe it. There's aliens. And you're like jumping all around. And then like you're trying to do push-ups. And then you like hurt your dick. And it's like this whole pretty embarrassing, high like meme viral sort of thing. And you catch your roommates. And they're filming you, and they see you.
They
and
have a
you
shoulder
see,
cam. It's like it's a shoulder rig,
but it's got an iPhone at the end of it. Whoa. And so they can just hit publish live, and it'll go.
Jeez.
So you got like, what are you gonna do in this moment? Those friends.
Monetize. Mm. I lean in. I get myself like an Uber Eats commercial because of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I make my fucking money.
Dude. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You cash in on it immediately.
And I still don't know if the aliens are coming or not.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone's kind of surprised that you still think that. Like, you bring it up all the time, and then everyone feels like it's like, rude to tell you.
What are they going to tell me? They don't know.
Yeah, no, they don't know.
You're made of balloon animals, okay? Yeah. You're 100% balloon animals, but all your organs, bones, skin, everything is a different balloon animal, okay? You wade into a rose bush with many little pricks and points. All your orgies and all your skin starts popping, 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 popping. Right before the last balloon pops, you have an opportunity to turn yourself into a real boy. What do you do?
No, I just let it pop. I'm like, what will I be when if all of that was just popping? I'm just going to turn into a real boy that has organs that have popped. Like, I'm just going to die and bleed out slowly in this biological way that seems really painful, suffering. You know, you're gasping to breathe. I think I just go, oh, I'll just pop out of existence. I think that's the way to do that.
Okay.
There can't be the judgment, Joe. It makes me.
You have the gift of life. God has given you life. Okay, fine.
Okay, you get hit by a car, and you.
No, I don't.
You awake in hell, and the devil is telling you that you're in hell for all the things. Okay. He lists a bunch of reasons why you're there. You're basically like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I get it.
And then he goes, you've won like a great, there's like a lottery system down there. He starts explaining it. And you're like, let's move it along.
Go.
And he goes, you won this great lottery system thing here. You get to go back as a ghoul that would specifically scare you when you were a little kid. So what is, okay. So, but you, it's sort of like
or
a monster. It's like a Monsters, Inc. style
or
creature.
Or what's the other thing?
Just become a ghoul.
Or that's the lottery?
That's the lottery you won.
And is then, that so you I'm get not in that. Hell. I just get to go scare.
No, you're going
to
go back on Earth and scare kids and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but then I don't go to hell anymore?
No, you're just going to be on Earth as a ghoul.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what are you going to make yourself?
Well, hold on. What are the fucking rules here, Satan? So
Satan's sending you back to Earth as like a Monsters, Inc. style ghoul.
Back in time. Right.
No, not even back in time. It's more that he just goes like,
what would scare you?
Your destiny of what you will be as a scarer is based on what would have scared you as a kid.
So
I'm asking you as a kid, what was the scary thing that was under your bed?
Hold on, Satan. So what's the rule here? I get to go as a ghoul and I don't come back to hell?
If they kill you, if you get killed up there, then you come back to hell.
So I can die up there?
Yeah.
I can die up there.
Yeah, normal death rules.
Like
if you get shot, you die.
In Spawn.
No, you're not like the clown in Spawn. But but fine. Here, look. Because you're asking, I wouldn't normally tell people this.
Yeah.
If you make it work for 10 years, you become immortal like the thing in Spawn.
For real?
Yeah.
Wait, but you gotta be. Aren't I already immortal because I'm in hell?
Well, like the immortality of the soul for sure. Like you'll keep coming on back and everything. Yeah. But I'm saying you get to stay up there as the ghoul that you create.
For 10 years, then I never come back to hell. Yeah,
that's
but
right.
But then what happens when the earth is destroyed?
That we will cross that bridge when we get there. We're
well,
just
let's
not
talk
sure.
about it now. I want to.
Yeah. Well, hell is technically on Earth, actually.
Okay. So
we're all connected. So I really hope that doesn't happen.
So if
look, you can just be meat over there. You can just be a pile of meat over in the corner.
Is the pile of meat sentient?
Yeah, it's sentient.
What'd you say?
All right. Bye.